2 weeks ago, I was at a theological conference of the Rocky Mountain Synod, and our speaker, the Reverend Dr. Kim Wagner from Princeton Seminary, preached at the closing worship. And my sermon relies heavily on the notes that I took from her sermon, so I just wanted to give Dr. Wagner credit. Grace and peace to you from God, who is mystery, who is incarnation, who is spirit. Amen. A person cries out to God, "How long, O Lord? The violence around me is unbearable. I fear for my community, for my home, for my people. Why are you silent? Your word has failed me, O Lord. Where is this person and when?" From these words, it's really impossible to tell. He could be in Europe in 1943 or in Vietnam in 1970. She could be in a Pueblo community in 1600 or France in 1790. He could be in Judah in the 6th century BCE. They could be in Ukraine, in Yemen, Syria, or Afghanistan right now. They could be here in the US, battered by experience of violence and oppression, or news of war, mass shootings, insurrection, and disease. Last week, we read the story of God creating the world. Over and over again, God calls the creation good. Now, we read the words of the prophet Habakkuk, who cries out to God that the world is not what it should be. He is surrounded by violence and injustice, and God, who was so intimately present in the creation, seems absent. He cries, "O Lord, how long shall I cry out for help, and you will not listen? Or cry to you, violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble?" I like that line. Feels like every day right now. Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Habakkuk is not like other prophets who are usually speaking to the people of God about their failings and about God's faithfulness to them. Instead, the book of Habakkuk is an exchange between Habakkuk and God. Habakkuk directly addresses the question that has arisen among God's people in so many times and places. If you are a good and loving God, why is there so much suffering? How long, O Lord? Just as the words "once upon a time" signal to us that we're going to hear a fairy tale, the words "how long, O Lord," signal that we are listening to lament. Lament is a passionate expression of sorrow and pain. In the Hebrew Bible, lament is a prayer that expresses sorrow, pain, fear, or doubt. Habakkuk is not really asking God a question. Habakkuk is choking on the violence all around him and dumbfounded by the fact that God seems inexplicably absent. In his lament, Habakkuk says, "I not only want to know how long, I want to signal you, God, that I am wholly and heartily sick of what is happening. And I think it is beyond time that you do something about it." And Habakkuk doesn't just sit at home waiting to hear from God. He climbs to the highest rampart, a tower on the city gate. From there, he can look out over the whole city to see what is happening. Far from disengaging, numbing out, or hiding from the pain and doubt that he feels, Habakkuk climbs a tower and waits for God. Not just sits and waits for God, but expects God to respond to him. He trusts that his cries have been received, and he climbs the rampart with insistence and expectation to hear from God. And perhaps the most remarkable part of the book of Habakkuk is that God does respond. God hears Habakkuk and God answers him, saying, "Write the vision, make it plain on tablets so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. The righteous live by faith." God assures Habakkuk that despite present appearances, God is still at work in the world. "Make a banner," God says. "Make a billboard so that all who drive by can read it. Make it say, 'Keep the faith.' God still holds the future. God is not done with us yet." God doesn't give an explanation for the suffering and violence, nor any clear description of what God's plan for the future is. God instead tells Habakkuk that the righteous live by their faith, by trust in God's goodness, even when it's hard to see, by staying engaged with God, even when that engagement feels like disappointment or anger or grief. Looking at the world around him, Habakkuk is tempted to despair. But despair is the opposite of faith. And Habakkuk chooses faith and faithfulness. Not a faith that blithely says everything happens for a reason, but a faith that says what is happening is wrong and unacceptable, and I choose to believe in God and trust in God anyway. We don't do lament very well in the church. We use beautiful, polite words, lifting up our concerns with all good manners. It feels right in our communal worship that we pray this way, but sometimes it may give us the wrong idea about what prayer should look like. I was recently visiting with someone who was grieving, and they kind of didn't look at me and admitted that they were angry with God. I know I shouldn't be. But Habakkuk and so many of the Psalm writers show us that being angry with God is not wrong. It is a part of being in a relationship with God. And God is okay with our anger, our pain, our doubt. God is big enough to handle all of our emotions. The problem comes when we cut ourselves off from God, moving into despair or indifference. Written in my study Bible in the book of Habakkuk, I have these notes, which I think are the words of retired Professor Craig Kester. They just sound like him. Habakkuk looks into the face of all that says, "It's over, give in to despair," and says, "No, you cannot have me." Faith is the ultimate act of defiance, acknowledging the reality and the power of that which would sap life out of us, and saying, "No, I will have faith in a God of life." A few years ago, Lee and I went to a demonstration at the ICE facility south of Albuquerque. We were particularly protesting the separation of families and detention of children at the border. We listened to a number of speakers, and then at the end, we went to stand in front of the building where Reverend Carolyn Metzler, an Episcopal priest and a friend of mine, and some of you may recognize Carolyn, she has preached here, was scheduled to lead a prayer of lament. I looked forward to hearing what Carolyn would say. She is very articulate and deeply spiritual, and I expected the very best of beautifully worded prayer. Instead, Carolyn invited us to join her, and she began to wail. It was a deep, clear sound, an expression of grief and anguish beyond words. She wailed, and others began to join her, and the sound filled the night. The sound of anger and disbelief and grief and pain, the pure sound of hearts breaking open before God in the face of humanity's ability to do evil. The experience of lament, the words we pray, or the inarticulate cries and sobs, or even just sitting in numb silence when we have no words, is all a part of the life of faith. It is a part of what it means when the scripture asks us to wait for the Lord, that sometimes it is just too much of us for us, and that is okay, because God has still got us in the palm of God's hand, us and the rest of the world as well. And my friends, you've heard me say before, that is also why we gather in Christian community. Because on those days when I am filled with lament and the faith seems very sparse, I rely on you and your faith to move me along. And then the same is true on the days when you are feeling empty, that being in this space, you walk alongside the ones who can carry faith for you in your days of lament. Habakkuk makes his lament and hears the response of God, the response that is not an answer, really, but an assurance and a promise. I, God, am still with you. I hear you. I see you. I, God, have this all in my hands. And I invite you to continue to trust me, to be in relationship with me and with the people of God, to watch for me and the ways I still show up in this world. And in the end, Habakkuk comes back around to praise, as so often happens with biblical lament. Not because everything is solved, there is still injustice and suffering, and it still doesn't make sense. But because faith and trust in God, abiding in God's steadfast love, is enough. Though the fig tree does not blossom and no fruit is on the vines, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exult in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. Even in the midst of things we cannot understand, may God be our strength and give us life. Thanks be to God. Amen.